The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Insider. On the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Look out. He's got some room. He's got some speed. And he's got the end zone at his side. Got it. Touchdown. Oops. That was too quick. How do you like to start this football season?
Oops. The flush with the right hand.
Goes up. He's blocked.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Time now for your daily dose of Oregon athletics. Here's your host, Joey Mack.
It is officially a sellout on Friday at Matthew Knight Arena. The Ducks and the Beavers in a top 10 showdown, and it is a sellout. Over 12,000 tickets were sold as of this morning, and they finished them off early in the a.m. today. We are 2 days away from Oregon State, and the first of two Civil War matchups for women's basketball this weekend, one in Eugene and one in Corvallis. The Ducks will have a lot of green and yellow cheering them, including this guy. I am very excited. I have decided, Terry and I were talking on Tip Off Tuesday, our men's basketball coaches show yesterday, I have decided that I am going full-on fan for this game on Friday. Full-on fan. I already told John Sargent I'm going to need some good concession food. I'm going to be getting the concession food. I'm going to park, and my wife and I are going to go full-on fan for this Oregon basketball game for the Ducks and the Beavers. The sellout, some numbers on the sellout for you. Joe Waltassi, the sports information director for Oregon women's basketball, he was talking in a text thread earlier. So this is the second time in Matthew Knight Arena history that women's basketball has sold it out. The first was also against Oregon State. It was the first ever women's basketball game at Matthew Knight Arena. So a lot of people wanting to see the new facility, that makes sense. There was only one sellout that Joe could find at Mack Court. There was another occurrence where they had 9,738 at Mack in 1996, but the capacity, according to Joe, was bigger then. So this is going to be the third sellout in the history of women's basketball here at Oregon. That's how big this matchup is. That's how much Kelly Graves has built this program. And that's how exciting this team is to watch. They're coming off a 40-point win over Stanford. And you heard Coach Graves mention yesterday that you kind of have to forget about that. And we're going to hear his conversation with Terry Johns from Tip Off Tuesday coming up in just a moment here on Duck Insider. Your Facebook comments and questions as well. What are you looking forward to with this big matchup? Oregon and Oregon State, it's going to be awesome. And if you missed this one, because now if you were waiting, because I know women's basketball is generally a large walk-up crowd. That's ticket lingo for... It's not a lot of people that buy tickets ahead of time. They come to the box office game day night and buy their tickets. I'm hoping that all those regular fans that do that did so and bought their tickets ahead of time because there's none left. But you can still get tickets for Oregon-UCLA and Oregon-USC, which is coming up next weekend. So GoDucks.com has you covered for all your ticketing needs. This is also really cool for us here on the radio network, and I think it's another example of just how big this game is. I was just talking with the guys this morning back east at our satellite headquarters, Stephen Hartzell helping us out. This is really cool. The game will also be broadcast on satellite radio. Sirius channel 211, XM channel 197, online at channel 959, and on the Pac-12 Sports Talk channel. If you follow at Oregon SPXNet, Oregon Sports Network on Twitter, we've got all this info for you as well. This is the first time, to my knowledge, that we've ever had a women's basketball broadcast occurring here from the Oregon Sports Network that has gone on to satellite radio. I talked with Terry Johns this morning, and he said, not that I can remember in 14 years of doing the women's games. And I texted Jerry Allen today if he remembered one, and he said, no, I don't remember one. So Terry's broadcast that you can find on KUGN 590 AM in Eugene and 1640 AM in Portland, as well as tune in the Godux Game Day app and godux.com/live audio. All of those regular affiliates are now going to be joined by a really worldwide audience on satellite radio coming up on Friday night, which is, first of all, really cool. And I immediately had to joke and tell Terry Johns, no pressure, buddy. It's going to be a fun matchup. Sell out at Matthew Knight Arena, and if you didn't get your tickets for this one, be sure to get tickets for UCLA and USC coming up next weekend. The Ducks are back at home. We also have some news to tell you. The March 2nd Arizona at Oregon men's basketball game time has been set for 7 o'clock. We don't know if it's going to be on ESPN or ESPN2 yet, but we do know that it will be at 7 o'clock for the Oregon men's basketball game against Arizona. Today we're going to hear from Rob Mosley, the editor-in-chief of Godux.com, will join us here in studio, and a couple spectacular interviews. We'll start first with women's basketball and head coach Kelly Graves. The Ducks are feeling pretty good heading into this matchup. It's going to be a packed house. And earlier, Terry Johns, the voice of the Oregon women's basketball team, sat down with the head coach of the first-place Ducks. They're the last undefeated Pac-12 team. This would be a big win to get. Kelly Graves talking with Terry Johns.
Coach, great weekend, tough stretch of games here, and you've gotten halfway through those four tough games, the Civil War Series coming up this weekend, but down in the Bay Area. Couldn't get much better, could it?
We played well. I mean, just simply put, that was two great games put together to put 105 up on Cal, and then to back that up with a 40-point win at Stanford. I just don't think that Oregon basketball has ever had a better weekend. They certainly haven't since I've been here, and to do it on the road against two really good teams, was quite impressive.
I'll tell you, there hasn't been any better than that, I don't think. You're not into making statements necessarily, but I think Andy Landers, who does the ESPN and does the halftime, of course, longtime coach at Georgia, he made a pretty big statement about thought maybe the Ducks were the best team in the country, but pretty cool.
Well, that's one person's opinion, and you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. That day we played really well, and it was sure nice that it was on a national stage, on ESPN and against a really good team and a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame program, quite frankly. So, I was so pleased at how we put it together at both ends of the floor. I think everybody in the country knows that we're, one of the best offensive teams, but to do what we did defensively against an elite offensive team, I thought was the big difference. We really put it together at the defensive end and kept them off balance all night long.
What is it about the defense? When did it happen? Was it the Mississippi State game? It seems like that was a game where you went, wow, you can play defense at a very high level.
Yeah, I mean, that was certainly part of it. It's not something that we don't emphasize. We emphasize it. I'm of the opinion that we find things so easy offensively that we think that it's going to be that way defensively. We have to really focus at that end of the floor. We're not the most athletic team in terms of just raw quickness and speed. So we can't make up for mistakes defensively. We have to be in sync, all five, playing great team defense for our defense to work. And when we are like that, yes, we can play great defense, and that has shown up in many games. And I'm glad it does, and I'm glad that our team has shown that for those big games, we can dial in defensively. And I think we're better offensively when we are in sync defensively. For whatever reason, it just carries over. So, but that was one game. We got to move on. I mean, we enjoy it. I've spent the whole day today, with people patting me on the back saying how great we are and amazing we are. And so I told the team, enjoy that. But guess what? That game's over. We're moving on now.
Yeah, I think we do this before, too. And in each game down in the Bay Area where Ruthie got in foul trouble, had to sit for quite a while. Then yesterday against Stanford, Satu got in a little bit of foul trouble, had to sit. But, boy, it just kept going, didn't it?
It did. And, our bench is really underrated. Taylor Chavez, if she was on any other team, is a huge major contributor production-wise. Now, she's a huge contributor for us, but maybe not in the points and all of that kind of stuff. She's getting it done. Audie Gilden on any other team is a key component production-wise. Well, on our team, she's a really good role player, solid defender. She gives us a lift, man. I'm telling you, Audie's been so good this year. And Jaeger and Lydia, I mean, those two are doing a really good job for us. So, if we get some foul trouble, and we haven't really this year, but we have we did this weekend, I have full confidence in our bench players to come in and do a great job.
You know, besides the Ducks, now 12-0, 23-1, you're atop the Pac-12 conference, but your buddy J.R. Payne, Colorado, got a conference win, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. I talked to her last night when we were at the airport, and she was excited. That's a huge, you know, kind of monkey off her back. They're a good team. They've just had some health issues, and, you know, and they still have some winnable games, you know, through the end of the year, and I think Kennedy Leonard's going to be back. So, you know, a lot of positives. I'm just so happy for her. I mean, I obviously cheer for us, and then I cheer for her team. So, yeah. That was nice of you to say something about that.
And speaking of being at the airport, I'm going to talk to Sabrina here in a moment for the show. But it was, we were sitting there and looking over and seeing some young girls walk by who realized who she was. And then some other fans came by, and she's always willing to get up and take a picture. And with fame comes responsibility, and she handles it well, doesn't she?
She does. The whole team does. And they don't realize. I shared with them a letter I got today, a very heartfelt letter from a fan saying how much the team means to them. And yeah, it's not easy. Sometimes it's a pain in the butt, you know, but they do it willingly and with a smile, and I think they try to be as gracious as they can, because they should. I mean, they are an important part of, you know, a lot of people's lives, and they are celebrities, and, you know, I think that's pretty neat. I think our team, man, they're rock stars, Terry. Everywhere we go, they're rock stars. You know, everybody's, you know, all of our opponents seem to have their biggest crowds and the nights we're there. And, you know, people want to see this group.
Civil War coming up. Couple of games. First Friday night here at Matthew Knight Arena. Then a Monday, a big Monday, national televised game. The Beavers always have been kind of a thorn for a while because they've been really good. Well, the Ducks are really good, too, and it ought to be two great games, shouldn't it?
Oh, no doubt. Both in the top 10 and both playing really well right now. Both, you know, can defend, and both are really great offensive team. So, yeah, this is going to be battle. I know that there aren't very many tickets, so any Duck fans listening right now, you might want to go down and get some tickets because they're going to be gone. I got a feeling this might be a sellout, or if not a full sellout, very close. And it should be. These are two. I mean, how cool is it that the state of Oregon has two teams, two elite basketball teams like this, and we're meeting on a very important weekend. So, yep, they've had our number, and it's time for us to hopefully turn that around.
Well, I know you knew when you came what the Civil War means. You know, you'd been in Portland, so you kind of understand that a little bit. But the team, or do you talk about that, or do you just, you know, hey, it's another game, another opponent, let's go win?
You know, that's actually the approach I've taken up until now. You know, it's another game, but I think I want to kind of talk about the Civil War a little bit more this year and really make that an emphasis and a focus. We have a smart team. We have a competitive team. Yeah. And they play to win every game. But hopefully they'll have that little added something for this weekend, because we know, just like this last weekend, you and I, we talked openly about, you know, if we can win those games, we can start to, you know, show some separate from the other teams. Well, a win on Friday night, now we'll have a 3-game lead on everybody in the conference with 5 to play. And that puts us in a really, you know, favorable position. So our kids know what, you know, what this game is about, and we have a chance to, you know, again take a stranglehold on the conference.
I was going to say stranglehold was the word last week. Still the word?
Well, why not? It worked last weekend. Let's stick with it. Why screw it up?
All right, Coach. Thanks for the visit, and good luck this weekend. Let's get them.
Let's get them, Terry. Yeah.
It is a sellout. We know for sure that it is a sellout now. And we're going to talk with Rob Mosley about what it's like in a sold-out Matthew Knight Arena. And Rob might have been around for the first sellout at Matthew Knight Arena. Was he around for the only sellout at Mac Court? We're going to find out. Rob Mosley, the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com, is with us next. Stick with us. Duck Insider back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
It's time to turn heads in a Toyota. Turn up your style. Turn up your fun. Turn up your comfort. This winter, turn heads in a Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or buyatoyota.com to find yours. Toyota, let's go places.
When you've got your sights set on a goal, whether it's planting roots, planning your future, or going for the big win, you do what it takes to make it happen. And On Point Community Credit Union can help. We support our community with local banking and lending that unlocks opportunities. Because just like our Oregon Ducks, we play as a team and we win as one too. On Point is a proud sponsor of University of Oregon Athletics. Join in at onpointcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal opportunity lender.
It's time to turn heads in a Toyota. Turn up your style. Turn up your fun. Turn up your comfort. This winter, turn heads in a Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or buyatoyota.com to find yours. Toyota, let's go places.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
I get it. Your desk has been there for you, holding up your computer, your unused stapler, and that plant you forgot to water. But maybe it's time to leave your desk and spend your lunch break volunteering with Meals on Wheels.
Doing Meals on Wheels for me is the joy that I look for at the end of my week. I'll come to the door with one meal and I'll walk away with a full heart.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
First malfunction, I hope that everything's okay. Rob Mosley's here.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, we at least have one microphone that works. There we go. Now everything is back up. All right. I was about to say that Jesus with maybe the comment of the year. He says, hey, everybody, better buy your Elite Eight tickets before they are gone too. Might be looking ahead a little bit, but remember the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight are in Portland for women's basketball this year. Rob Mosley, is your calendar clear? And welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
You know, yeah. I'm really living the dream, I think.
Yep, that makes two of us.
Civil War. So, Rob, I have to tell you, I have decided that I am going full-on fan mode on Friday.
Oh, I love it. Going to the game, sitting in the seats.
Yeah.
Love it.
I'm in section 101, row C. My wife and I are going to be sitting.
Fantastic.
And we are going to be full-on fans. When was the last time you were a fan at an Oregon athletic event?
Saturday.
Okay.
Was that the Acro meet?
Yes.
Yes.
That was Friday, actually.
Friday. Yeah. So then Saturday I went to lacrosse.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I have some very personal rooting interests. Last week.
Okay.
Head-to-head competition. I was documenting this on Twitter as it went along. 14-1. Ducks went 14-1.
Yep. Yep.
Only loss was women's tennis. We played without their number one player. Yep. So could have easily been 15-0.
Yeah. That's a good tweet train to follow, by the way.
But. I was on the Courts for Kids trip in 2017, as I've mentioned before. And the alumni from that trip includes four girls currently on the Acro team.
Okay.
Cherish and April from softball.
Okay.
Audie from women's basketball. And then Shannon and Julia from lacrosse, who hooked up on that super sick behind the back goal in that lacrosse match. And I was there to witness that. So, like, yeah, I fanboy out for all those kids from that trip. It was like I was kind of – as a chaperone on that trip, it was like I was sort of like, you know, team dad for a while. Like
cool uncle.
Some of the kids actually called me dad, like,
nice.
Like, you know, jokingly, like probably because they, you know – anyway. But so it was like I had a bunch of proud dad moments again this past weekend watching them all compete. It was like, and they were just all killing it. And it's just like, you know, Cherish and April, like, you know, softball the weekend they had. And then, you know, to see them be the seniors that help lead the team and get off to that start is just really proud of all those kids. So
well documented. Yeah, the Ducks went 14-1 last weekend. Rob kept track of all of it. It was fun to follow because I didn't total it up. And then I saw your tweet and I was like, oh, that's a pretty good weekend.
It happens every once in a while on a weekend. It's like, man, we're winning a lot.
Yeah.
And then you start to like look at it. It's like, oh, wow.
We won a lot.
Yeah. And you know, you add the fact that men's golf, you know, they weren't in a head-to-head competition but had a top five finish. And then, you know, you include, you know, last week included signing day.
Yep.
You know, with a top six, top seven national recruiting class, best recruiting class ever. was pretty phenomenal. Yeah. So that was fun.
Women's basketball Civil War. It's the first of three Civil Wars this weekend. That's always fun, yeah, as we know.
Yeah.
6 o'clock. It's a sellout at Matthew Knight Arena. Where are you going to be? Sitting in your usual spot?
Yeah, I'm going to be at all three Civil War games.
All right.
Three and 4 days. Yeah, going to Corvallis. I'm really looking forward to that women's game Monday. There was a game either last year or 2 years ago up there where the Beavs just pulled it out. Like we were pushing them. The Beavs just pulled it out. And there was a prominent member of the Oregon State media, won't mention the name just to protect the guilty, who was like, oh, it's a good thing the Beavs are going to get this one because it might be a while before the Beavs can beat the Ducks at home again, like just knowing that the program that Kelly Graves was building. So it'd be nice to actually have that come to fruition.
That's some good foresight, hopefully.
Get a breakthrough there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it was fun to hear someone in orange and black have to begrudgingly acknowledge that that our program's really taking a turn. Now, they're bringing in a lot of talent still. I think a lot of folks expected maybe the Oregon State program to drop off a little bit with some of the players they've lost at graduation, and they keep cycling good players through there. So, I think that's a factor as well.
Yeah.
So they're better right now than I think some people thought they were going to be. But, you know, the Ducks obviously are too. So that's really, of the three games, the one I'm looking forward to the most.
He's Rob Mosley, the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com, on Twitter at GoDucksMosley, at Duck Football. You saw a lot from at Duck Football last week with signing day. We'll talk about that briefly. But so women's basketball, this will be the second sellout at Matthew Knight Arena. I was joking. I don't know if you were actually at Matt Court for the only sellout at Matt Court. We think maybe.
Yeah, I did sit third level, talking about being in the game as a fan, for a game. I think this is when I was working at the newspaper, and I was a copy editor, so I wasn't really covering anything, and I had a night off. I was at third level for a game when Nicole Powell, who was an assistant here for until last year, was a player for Stanford. Because when she was at Stanford, those Oregon Stanford games were barn burners. I think she was like 2-2 maybe in Eugene as a player.
That sounds right.
And they would get a ton of fans. And I remember I had to sit third level because I showed up. I'm sure I walked in thinking, oh, well, we'll have the run of the place. And it was, because they'd get 5,000 or something. But, I had to go all the way up to the third level of Matt Court. So that could have been the game. That was a sellout. They got some big crowds for those games.
Yeah, we were talking with Joe Waltassi earlier, and he said there was one at Matt Court, but I didn't get a chance to ask him which game was it at Matt Court. But the other sellout at Matthew Knight Arena for women's basketball was also against the Beavers. It was the first game at Matthew Knight Arena ever.
Right.
I'm kind of curious for your perspective on that. You think back to when Matthew Knight Arena opened. Everybody's there to see the new arena,
right,
see it all open up.
Right.
And now where women's basketball is with what Kelly Graves done.
Yeah.
Do you kind of encapsulate that?
That was a sellout due to the fact that the arena was new.
Right.
This is a sellout due to the fact that this program is doing fantastic. They've done an awesome job of endearing themselves to the community. Mm-hmm. There's a rivalry game coming in. The rival is good as well. So this is the perfect storm. Friday is going to be really, really awesome. It's going to be really fun. We've talked before that, it felt like at Matt Court, the way it was set up, the crowd could impact the outcome of a game.
Yes.
In a way that's a little tougher at Matthew Knight Arena, I think, just because the fans aren't quite right as on top of the game like they used to be at Matt Court. But I think for men's teams, just because they're used to playing in front of bigger crowds,
you get
a sellout crowd at Matthew Knight, and even when it gets loud, probably most men's players will say, yeah, I've played, that was good environment, but not, off the charts.
That's a good point.
For women's players, and the crowds that they're used to getting, this is going to be one of the biggest crowds in the country this year. I mean, this is going to be one of the biggest crowds ever to watch a women's basketball game in the state of Oregon. Maybe the biggest. Who knows?
Probably the biggest.
Yeah, one would think. I don't know. Unless there's some hole in my thinking regarding a game that might have happened in Portland sometime.
When the jam was going on.
Something, yeah.
That's an interesting.
There's going to be some players who I think are like, oh, wow,
yeah,
this is crazy. And the crowd's going to be loud. For both teams. There's going to be orange there too, so. That's going to be different.
That's a really interesting point. You think about just the historical context. We're just talking about at Oregon and at Matthew Knight Arena how cool this is, but it could even be in the entire state's history.
Yeah.
This could be the largest live audience for a women's basketball game. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's a good thought, Rob Mose. I don't know if there's
hopefully
a way for us to even check
broken,
that.
If the Ducks do indeed earn the number one seed and get to get to play in Portland for Sweet 16 Elite 8. Hopefully that's a really big crowd.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how to research this. So can we just say it's probably true?
Probably.
All right. According to Rob Mosley.
Yeah, that's sketchy. You're setting yourself up for trouble.
Men's basketball, you're going to be up in Corvallis as well.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of a big one, I think, for the Ducks.
Huge.
They're tied for fifth right now, and the men's team is a game out of second place, and the Beavers are in second place, tied with two other teams. They got to get something done.
They do, yeah. And, you know, I think they're kind of on this precipice of, like, you know, maybe, you know, the rumors of this team's demise a few weeks ago were a little exaggerated. That, yeah, we know the uphill climb the conference as a whole is going to have to get postseason credibility. But if these guys can, you know, keep stringing some wins together, you got the confidence now of finally sweeping a weekend. You know, if you can go and avenge this, you know, the early loss of the Beavs, get a win on the road.
They're healthier.
Some momentum going. Yeah, healthier. You know, that would be a big deal. Yeah, how many minutes can Paul White play? Because he's obviously such a big key to what they want to do, both, you know, offensively and defensively. But, yeah, you know, can you secure a top four seed? Because you feel like if you can secure a top four seed, then the odds of making a run in the conference tournament are, you know, dramatically better.
Yes.
And if that is the only path, the NCAA tournament, you know, okay, so that helps. But I don't know. I realize the net ranking's still not great, what, 70 going into this week? But, you know, you start piling up some wins. You know, I don't think it's outlandish to think this team could play itself back in the conversation. So, you know, certainly that's the attitude they have to take, that, you know, that opportunity still exists. And, you know, they just, you know, typical Dane Altman team, they just compete so hard. And you do want to see that get rewarded.
Yeah.
Because it's been admirable. They're not always fun to watch just based on the style of play. You know, they got to grind out games.
You know? Do.
And it's not always the prettiest. But, you know, if the result is a W, they don't care how it looks, certainly. So
win's a win.
Yeah, it's admirable. It's impressive how hard they play and how much they grind it out and how, you know, they even if, you know, some of the slow starts they've had at times, you know, they keep pushing right to the end and can turn some of those results on their head. So, it's a big one. It'll be revealing, that's for sure.
Revealing, I think, too, for the committee, because there's a lot of things that Oregon has going for them. If they do make a little bit of a run, you can say, well, a few of the losses early in the season, they didn't have Kenny Wooten, they had to adjust life without Bull. And, you know, the committee does take that into account as how you're playing toward the end now that everybody's healthy. So this is Oregon's chance, and it's usually about after Valentine's Day. That's kind of the note that we've talked about the last few years. Dane Altman's teams are one of the best in the country, and particularly in the Pac-12 at winning games after Valentine's Day. So,
when's Valentine's Day?
That would be tomorrow, Rob, so don't forget.
Uh-oh.
Just PSA.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow of this week?
Tomorrow of this week.
All right.
Flag on the play.
I think
that's the second or third time we've seen the flag on Rob's segment in the last, like, month.
Yeah. Hey, it was a good scoop. I'm glad I came on the show today.
That's right. That's right. Real quick, best signing class in program history.
Yeah.
Some of your takeaways from that day.
The signing day event in Salem was a home run.
Yeah.
They said it was the best one they've ever had.
Good. Yeah. And that was because of the MC. Because of the MC right here.
Yes.
Mosley was the MC.
No, it was great. And, you know, I think really filled some needs there at the end. You know, getting a couple more DBs. You could never have too many good D linemen. So, you know, that was really, really good. You know, maybe you wanted another receiver, but when you have a position coach change, that's, you know, there's going to be some fallout from that. So, I just keep coming back to the big picture narrative. You know, you get caught up in recruiting and, okay, what's this one guy going to do? What's this one guy going to do? It feels like everything's riding on that. But, you know, yeah, you're talking about the number six or number seven class in the whole country. And that's pretty phenomenal. It was just, you know, it sounds like things were great. You know, the energy was great at the, you know, the Portland signing day ceremony. You know, the people in Salem were fired up about that class. And so it was really awesome to see just the energy and the enthusiasm and the appreciation, you know, for the coaches and all that. We Drew Mathis, new linebacker who enrolled for winter, was up there and we did a Q&A for the fans, and he was the line to get selfies with him afterward. He made a bunch of new fans.
Good.
Yeah, that was cool to see too. I think, you know, he's a guy who, you know, we from a communications office standpoint, we hope he ends up being a player, and I know there's a lot of confidence he is going to be a player for this team because he really represented himself and the program really well. So That was awesome, too.
Off-the-field victories.
Yes.
Those are important.
Absolutely.
He's Rob Mosley. He's the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com. Follow at GoDucksMosley for all of your duck desires. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yep.
Thanks for hanging out. I know we were a little late getting to you. I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
We're going to get a quick timeout, come back, hear from Sabrina Ionescu. That's next as we continue to talk women's basketball here on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
At Shadow Hills Country Club, it starts with the golf and turns into a lifetime of memories. Shadow Hills Country Club provides a peaceful, natural setting with a standard of excellence in course conditions in any weather that is unsurpassed in the entire Willamette Valley. With a championship course, an expansive practice facility and clubhouse, fine dining and a swimming pool, Shadow Hills Country Club offers the amenities of a family resort just minutes from downtown Eugene. Shadow Hills Country Club. Call us today.
I fight like a duck with clinical trials, so our patients have access to the newest cancer medicines, like immunotherapy.
I fight like a duck with the latest surgical procedures, so that my patients with gynecologic cancers can have the most precise care with the least invasive technologies.
As a patient, I fight like a duck to beat prostate cancer with advanced radiation techniques like SpaceOAR, and WVCI is the only one in the area that offers it.
Fight like a duck with Willamette Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Learfield IMG College.
Guide dog partners bring greater freedom, confidence, and mobility. They are trusted friends that offer new opportunities for social interaction and greater independence. Guide Dogs of America is a nonprofit organization that provides these loyal and loving dogs free of charge to people who are blind or visually impaired. To learn more about Guide Dogs of America, visit our website at guidedogsofamerica.org or call us at 800-459-4843.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man, your worst man. You, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
All right, we have an update for you. We have some great crack researchers in this studio. None of them found the answer to this question. Instead, it was over in the events office. Hey, Gio, I'm sorry. Over in the events office, Vicky Strand, who's tuned into the show right now. Vicky, by the way, probably knows more about Oregon than anybody I know with Oregon athletics. She said that, and I quote, "She was at the Mac Court. I was at the Mac Court sellout, so much louder than a men's sellout, and it was March 10th, 2000, against Oregon State." Vicky, thank you. That's good info. That's good info. I've actually often said that if we ever have to know the answer to something from a historic standpoint, just ask Vicky. Vicky's gonna know. We have all these crack researchers. Just walk down the hall and ask Vicky. That's the key. Thank you, Vicky. She's in charge of the events office, and it was. So that means all three, which doesn't surprise me, all three sellouts in the history of women's basketball now will be against Oregon State. Not surprising. And honestly, kind of cool. 6 o'clock and a 5:30 pregame here on the Oregon Sports Network with Terry Johns. I'm really looking forward to it. This is just going to be a fun, fun environment. And if you missed it last night on our coaches show, Tip Off Tuesday presented by The Cooler, Terry Johns had a great conversation with Sabrina Ionescu. This was a good one. Sabrina Ionescu talking about what it's like being Sabrina Ionescu. How does she handle the fame that has now come with being who she is and also trying to be a college student and be pretty good at basketball at the same time? Sabrina Ionescu sitting down with Terry Johns.
Sab, let's start, first of all, down at the Bay Area. Not a bad weekend, huh, with a couple of wins over Cal and Stanford, and a big one over Stanford, which I don't think you ever predict a 40-point win, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was definitely a great weekend for us. I think we grew a lot and kind of showed some glimpses of elite defense and offense, so I think it was a great weekend for us, and obviously even better because we had won both games.
Yeah, the defense. I was just talking with Coach Graves about that. That When this team digs in defensively, it really gets the rest of it, the offense, everything going, and you guys play at an even higher level, don't you?
Yeah, we do, and I think that just shows that we are capable of doing that if we put our minds to it and are mentally focused. So now that's just going to be the level that we're going to hold ourselves to because we know we're capable of doing it. But defense always leads to great offense. And so I think, you know, when we turned it on defensively, we got open looks, we got fast break points, we got three-pointers. And so I think that definitely sparked it coming from the defensive end.
Down in the Bay Area, getting play in front of friends and family. That's always kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it was great seeing my high school teachers and people I haven't seen in many years and just seeing how they're still watching us and coming out to the games and showing their support. It's always nice to see familiar faces in the crowd.
Now you got a homecoming at St. Mary's earlier this year, but going down to Berkeley every year, or I guess we don't every year, but every other year and hopefully every year from here on out. But it reminded me of Ruthie's homecoming, and I know you and Rue have become pretty good friends, which is kind of cool to see. What was it like going up to Alaska and that homecoming?
I mean, it was great. No one has ever been there from our team other than some of our coaches when they were recruiting her. So just being able to see her home and where she grew up and her elementary school, and we went there and helped some of the kids with paintings and stuff. But just being able to show up to the game and had a sellout arena for her and just seeing how many people are there supporting her every step of the way.
Yeah, you have rock star status. So does Ruthie up in Fairbanks, certainly, doesn't she?
She does. She is.
Basketball, I mean, I know that's your keen interest, and you're kind of a basketball junkie, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But what other interests does Sabrina have? What are the things you like to do?
I enjoy reading. I used to paint. I just don't really have a lot of time right now. I probably will once the season's over. That's about it. I watch some Netflix.
Like
I
what?
Work out.
What do you watch?
I was watching the Ted Bundy case things now on Netflix. And then I watched the Fire Festival. That's about it.
I know the most important stat for you is wins and losses, and particularly wins.
Mm-hmm.
But the triple-double record, surpassing both in men's and women's, and that's always going to be there, and you're adding on to it. What does it mean? What does it mean to you?
I guess it's pretty cool. I don't really think I can totally grasp the idea of it because it just seems so normal and natural just because I've been doing it for so long. So it's not really a standout stat for me, but just being able to be in the company of those great players that had done it before me and are still, you know, there's still many that are striving to get them now and to beat me is awesome.
Pac-12 championship last year, regular season and the conference tournament. What did that mean to you guys?
I mean, everything. That's what we had been working for. None of us had been in that position before. So I think it's just a testament to our coaching staff and who they recruited here and definitely to us to get the job done on the court.
And it had been 18 years since it had happened here as far as a conference championship and had never won the conference tournament. Do you guys think about that and realize what it means to the fans?
No, I don't think we do because we don't really talk about all those stats and how long it's been since we beat Stanford or how long it's been since we won something like that. But, I mean, we feel it. We feel the vibe and how it is when we come, you know, home and we play home and there's 7,000-8,000 fans at our games and how it's grown so much since, you know, when we first got here and even before we got here. So I think, you know, we're playing and I think people are kind of living out their passions through us.
Yeah. Let's talk about the 3-on-3 tournament. You got to play with your teammates. You won the USA title, and then they decided, hey, we want to send you guys to, well, first you went to France and then to the championships in the Philippines. What was that like?
I mean, it was fun. It almost seemed like a vacation just because we all went together, and we're all just so close, and I think it helped us that Erin was able to play in that with us after sitting out a year. She was able to you know, come and get a feel for what it's like to play with us, and we traveled the world together, and so it was really fun.
Then you and Ruthie got to go to the national team camp. What was that like? You have any good stories there?
I mean, it was just a reality check for us young kids. We looked up to those players. We played against a lot of them in college, and just being able to play on the same team and learn from them and those coaches that were there. We're elite coaches that were able to see what, you know, we had missing or what we needed to do better. And it was nice to have someone other than Kelly who sees us every day and kind of have a set of new eyes.
Any players there that you competed against or with that kind of jump out and you a wow moment or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, Tina Charles was there, and she was super, super nice, and she's a veteran, and just seeing her, how she acted with us, and she ate breakfast with us, and she's almost like 10 years older than us, so it was crazy to just see how accepting and warming she was.
Yeah, that's cool. Wow, she's old. Yeah, 10 years. Okay, come on. No old jokes. Okay. What about Steph and Kobe? You had a picture with Steph. Was that up in Portland? I'm not sure, but and of course you've been a Golden State Warriors fan growing up, and then meeting Kobe and him coming in the locker room down at USC. Tell us about that experience. That's got to be cool.
I mean, it for sure is. I remember watching Kobe when I was younger, and just it was a surreal moment, even ever being able to see him at one of our games with his daughter. And I had figured I'd meet Steph sooner than later. We have a bunch of mutual friends in common, and we know a lot about each other. I mean, we both lived in he moved now, but he lived in Walnut Creek as well. And so, I mean, it's just awesome to see how much, you know, they pay attention to the women's game and specifically our team.
Yeah, how cool is that now that NBA players, because sometimes, I mean, we all see it on social media, some of the Neanderthal guys that are, you know, that don't think women should be playing basketball. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't get it. But what does that mean to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron just tweeted at us last week, and we were all going crazy in our group text after we got his shoes. And, I mean, it's just crazy to see how far, you know, this team is coming to be recognized by possibly the all-time, you know, might go down as the all-time greatest player in NBA history. But I just think it's a testament to women's basketball as a whole, and that, you know, there are people that have a platform and are speaking out about it. And I think it's just going to, you know, continue to improve year in and year out.
Handling your celebrity, you do it so well. I mean, I sitting there last night when we were at San Francisco Airport, and I saw some girls walk by, and they realized it was you. They didn't come up to you, but they knew it was Sabrina Ionescu, and then you took some pictures. Mm-hmm. And you never have a phony smile. I see those pictures, and I know it can become a pain at times, but you always do that. You realize with the celebrity there's a responsibility, isn't there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'll always take pictures and sign autographs for whoever asks. I mean, there's people that would be dying to be in the position that I'm in, and so I always want to do, you know, whatever I can, but it does sometimes get tiring when you just want to go to the store and not be seen, and there's someone that always sees you, but that's what kind of, it comes with the job.
Yeah. That way you handle it well. Yeah, one final question. What's it like playing for Coach Graves?
He's awesome. I mean, we're such close, you know, off the court, we're so close, and I think that just helps us on the court. I mean, he's like a fatherly figure to all of us, and I think it's nice having that away from home and having that here, and he just cares so much about us as people, and I think that just helps all of our chemistry on the court, because we know that he's doing it, you know, out of the love he has for us, not necessarily for his job.
All right, Sab, thanks for the time. Let's go beat the Beavs.
Yep, let's go. Thank you.
Sabrina Ionescu from Tip Off Tuesday, presented by The Cooler, our Oregon basketball coaches show for the entirety of the show. We always try to get the best interviews for you here on Duck Insider as well, but for the entirety of the show, subscribe to our Oregon Sports Network podcast on iTunes or your podcast service of choice. I'm Joey Mack. We're going to get a timeout, come back, talk a little men's basketball, and continue to talk about this epic women's basketball weekend. This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
When you've got your sights set on a goal, whether it's planting roots, planning your future, or going for the big win, you do what it takes to make it happen. And OnPoint Community Credit Union can help. We support our community with local banking and lending that unlocks opportunities. Because just like our Oregon Ducks, we play as a team and we win as one too. OnPoint is a proud sponsor of University of Oregon Athletics. Join in at OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
At Shadow Hills Country Club, it starts with the golf and turns into a lifetime of memories. Shadow Hills Country Club provides a peaceful natural setting with a standard of excellence in course conditions in any weather that is unsurpassed in the entire Willamette Valley. With a championship course, an expansive practice facility and clubhouse, fine dining and a swimming pool, Shadow Hills Country Club offers the amenities of a family resort just minutes from downtown Eugene. Shadow Hills Country Club. Call us today.
Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet.
dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We're back on Duck Insider, presented by Point Community Credit Union. I'm Joey Mack. You can find me on Twitter at Joey Mack UO. The Ducks getting ready for a big Civil War weekend, both women's basketball and men's basketball. The Oregon women will be in action at 6 o'clock on Friday. That game is now sold out at Matthew Knight Arena. Then the Oregon men's team will be up in Corvallis, a 7:30 tip for the Ducks on the men's side in the Civil War Round 2. And then Round 2 of the Women's Basketball Civil War will be Monday at 6 o'clock up in Corvallis as well. I want to take a look at your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill, and that schedule is part of it. The other part of your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill is all the other sports that are going on this weekend. It all starts with softball Friday against LSU at 9:30. That one is going to be on the SEC Network, on the SEC ESPN family of networks. It's a big weekend for Oregon softball, a really big weekend for Oregon softball. The Ducks with a couple highly sought-after teams that are in this tournament with them, and a few highly ranked teams that the Ducks will face, including James Madison, LSU, and a few others. The full schedule is on GoDucks.com. It's also fun this weekend because Oregon baseball starts up. Softball always starts one weekend before baseball. Noon, high noon Pacific time in Lubbock, Oregon baseball taking on the number 8 team in the country, Texas Tech. Kenyon Yovan will get the ball. Todd Miles will have an 11:45 pregame show for you here on OSN. The Ducks in a big one against Texas Tech to open the season. It'll be the first of a 4-game series for Oregon baseball at Texas Tech. Then the Ducks will return home for their home opener next Friday. And a reminder, that game has been moved up from 6 o'clock to 3 o'clock with anticipation of some bad and cold weather in the area. So the first two Friday home games for Oregon baseball are going to be at 3 o'clock rather than the originally thought of time of 6 o'clock. So just something to keep in mind. We'll have the usual 15 minutes prior to first pitch pregame show for all of our baseball games and our baseball game broadcasts here on OSN. Also of note, Oregon women's tennis is in action this weekend against San Diego. And I mentioned the big softball weekend, and Oregon lacrosse taking on San Diego State 7 o'clock on Friday. A lot going on, including a lot of Civil War action that we continue to tell you about. So lacrosse and then also acrobatics and tumbling has Quinnipiac on Sunday. They're on the road. That's number 2 Oregon versus number 3 Quinnipiac. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Ducks respond. And Oregon lacrosse also in action on Sunday, as is Oregon men's tennis. Loyola Marymount for men's tennis and Fresno State for Oregon lacrosse. It's a busy weekend. You can always go to goducks.com/schedule, and that has the entire schedule for the weekend. Not just the one sport, but every sport here at Oregon. And that's your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill, brought to you by Cafe Yum restaurants throughout Oregon and Washington. For special diet requests and custom orders are always welcome. Menus and nutrition info, cafeyum.com. It's a sellout on Friday, and I should have mentioned this when I talked baseball. With that 11:45 airtime and a noon first pitch for Oregon baseball at Texas Tech on Friday, we won't have a Duck Insider because we do the show live in the 1 to 2 o'clock hour. I'll be listening to baseball. No need for us to compete with ourselves here on the Oregon Sports Network. So we'll all be tuning into baseball. So those of you who are maybe listening live with us now on Duck Insider or watching live on Facebook, go ahead and get the GoDucks Game Day app or go to goducks.com/live audio, and you can listen to Todd call some baseball while you're in your office, because I know there's some of you that are in your office right now watching the show. It's okay. This is what I get to do for a living. It's pretty fun. We're going to get a quick timeout, come back, and wrap things up hearing from Miles Norris. Going to feature him a little bit and get to know the young freshman for Oregon men's basketball ahead of their Civil War matchup coming up on Saturday at 7:30. More coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
I fight like a duck with clinical trials, so our patients have access to the newest cancer medicines, like immunotherapy.
I fight like a duck with the latest surgical procedures, so that my patients with gynecologic cancers can have the most precise care with the least invasive technologies.
As a patient, I fight like a duck to beat prostate cancer with advanced radiation techniques like SpaceOAR, and WVCI is the only one in the area that offers it.
Fight like a duck with Willamette Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center.
You couldn't miss that wedding, birthday party, or whatever event you felt obligated to attend. So you missed the game. And more importantly, the game program. Not to worry. IMGproducts.net has got you covered with official programs and yearbooks from many of the nation's top schools, plus conference and NCAA championships. Visit IMGproducts.net to browse the hundreds of publications available. IMGproducts.net. We've got you covered.
This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career that I could be proud of.
At DAV, we're on a mission, helping veterans of all generations get the benefits they've earned.
I'm Cece. My victory was finishing my education.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by Point Community Credit Union. It's Civil War Week, Ducks and Beavs. And I got to know Miles Norris a little bit better. I sat down with the young freshman who has a connection to the Ducks. His mom played at Oregon for women's basketball from 1982 to 1984. That's pretty cool, talking to him a little bit about that. She was one of his coaches early in his life, as I'm sure you can all imagine. I caught up with Miles Norris for Tip-Off Tuesday, and we'll finish up Duck Insider today getting ready for the Civil War as we get to know Miles Norris.
All right, Miles, the first time I talk to anybody, I always ask them for their two-minute life story. So you got 2 minutes. Tell me your life story. What got you from point A to now point B here with us today?
All right, so I was born in San Francisco, California. Lived there for a few years until I moved to San Diego. From there on, I started off playing soccer. I played like three sports, like soccer, football, and basketball. I was really good at soccer, but I started getting super tall. So I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to stick with basketball. And I got a passion for basketball. So my mom and my dad both worked on me getting better at basketball every day. My mom coached me my first couple years in rec with me and my best friend, Tayshaun Cherry, obviously known from Arizona State. So we grew up together as well playing. And then from there on out, just getting better, working on my stuff. In high school, just getting better every day, working out. That's when I actually got a trainer, Sterling Jones, back home. I started working out with him every day, probably between my sophomore and junior year. That helped me a lot. I appreciate him a lot. I still work with him when I get home. And then later on to there, just AAU basketball, just getting exposure into all those big camps, just playing hard, playing at the best that I can, just working every day, getting better. Obviously, getting stronger, that's one of my main things I've been trying to do for the past couple of years, getting stronger and just now leading into college, just learning from the older guys, and, listening to coach every day, seeing how I could get better and seeing what I could do every day to get more minutes on the floor.
You talk about your mom, the former Christina Metzger, lettered for Oregon women's basketball. So what's that connection been like?
I mean, she didn't really I think she likes me at Oregon a lot. She didn't really like say she didn't tell me like, oh, you need to go to Oregon or anything. She like she supports me with whatever decisions I make. But she loves that I'm at Oregon right now. I think she went she played at Oregon 3 years. Yeah. I think she led some. She has some records, but I got to talk to her about that. Yeah, I like playing at Oregon as well. Just I know she loves watching me play in the Duck uniform, so that means a lot to me as well.
Was she a great coach, and maybe was she one of the hardest coaches you've ever had to play for?
I don't think she was, like, one of the hardest because I was still young. But, like, if I was messing up stuff, she would get mad. But she helped me a lot. On the court with my fundamentals, my footwork, just my fundamentals. And my dad taught me a lot about, like, my IQ and, like, my playmaking and stuff. So they both played a part in me developing into the player I am today.
You still get text messages post-game and phone calls some details?
I usually call my parents, call my mom after the game. She texts me, and then I just call her. And then I talk to my mom and dad after every game pretty much. They tell me how like what I need to do or like if I play well. They just criticize me, but I take the criticism pretty well. I like it a lot.
What was the recruiting process like for you? You mentioned playing AAU ball, and I know you changed high schools at one point, didn't you, to get some better competition?
My first 2 years, I went to Modern Day Catholic High School. And then my junior year, I transferred to Helix High School. After my junior year, I thought playing like back home, it wasn't really getting me that much better because it wasn't that much competition. Like competition wasn't very good. So I transferred to the prep school in New Hampshire, Brewster Academy. I think that helped me a lot, playing against a lot of older guys. And, you know, Coach Smith over there helped me a lot, you know, playing, competing against Division I players every day. I think that helped me to get better every day.
The recruiting process with Oregon, and maybe why'd you pick Oregon? What was the deciding factor for you to become a Duck?
I had a good relationship with the coaches, with Coach Allman, Coach McKenna, Coach Mike. I talked to Stubbs a little bit, but it was mostly Mike and McKenna. I talked to Allman, called me every now and then. But on my visits, you know, I love the atmosphere. Especially, I love the campus. It's a beautiful campus. I love the facilities. I just love the atmosphere, the student atmosphere. It's a real college atmosphere. I like that a lot about it.
What's the next evolution in your game? What are you working on the most the rest of the season?
I think I need to work on just staying focused and locking in every game. Making plays, you know, doing whatever coach needs me to do, rebound the ball, play defense. That's pretty much what I've been working on. As well as getting stronger, like I said, that's my biggest thing.
Getting stronger is going to be a big thing for Miles Norris. Up against the clock a little bit, but if you want to hear the rest of the interview, Oregon Sports Network podcast, Tip Off Tuesday from last night. That's a fun show. We're going to do it again tomorrow. H.J. Cohn's going to join us, Senior Associate Athletic Director for the Duck Athletic Fund. He's always a good time. Happy Valentine's Day almost.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Hundo P. Hundo P. Adjective. Short for being 100% sure or certain. As in, if we get a puppy, I'll hundo pee always walk it.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
I am a Senior Corps RSVP volunteer.
I build homes and young minds. I build parks and playgrounds.
And support our nation's veterans.
I build gardens and help families with their finances.
I build healthy futures.
And organize disaster relief.
I'm a builder, and I lead by experience. How about you?
Join Senior Corps RSVP.
Lead by experience.
At seniorcorps.gov.
Hey, you! Yeah, you! Hi, I'm Lenny the Lifeguard. I only have a few seconds during this timeout to give you a few tips on ways to reduce stormwater pollution. Number one, fix any leaks your vehicle may be dripping on roadways. Number two, pick up after your pets. If they, you know, go while walking, these items can get washed down the storm drain when it rains and end up polluting our lakes and streams. Please remember to hop to it. Protect our water, because clean water is everyone's responsibility.
This message brought to you by stormwater mascot Lenny the Lifeguard.
Hi, I'm Chad Greenway. After retiring from the NFL, I've embraced my new role coaching my kids. Coaches may have the biggest impact on a young person's life. Unfortunately, youth sports are littered with coaches that are focused on the wrong things. That's why it's so important that parents can trust who's coaching their kids. Can you trust your child's youth coach? Our Youth Basketball Association made the decision to utilize trusted coaches to train, screen, and educate all of our basketball coaches. Go to trustedcoaches.org to learn more. I'm a trusted coach. Are you?
Been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Duck Insider is presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.